Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Sorry, it should have been Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for being with us. We ask that you will speak to us, Lord. Help us to connect with you. Help us to pray. And help us to see you this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the final point in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he speaks to us directly. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Okay, so I just have one observation and one observation and one thing that I just want to encourage us with. First point is that as I study and meditate on this last beatitude, I see that someone who is persecuted, someone who receives persecution, ill treatment, yet does not retaliate, and instead considers himself or herself to be blessed and rejoices in the midst of persecution, in the midst of ill treatment, in the midst of unfair treatment, that kind of a person actually displays all of the other Beatitudes as well. So this is the final one. And in this final Beatitude, someone who walks in this Beatitude, in this teaching, receiving persecution, ill treatment, unfair treatment, yet does not retaliate, does not harbor bitterness, but rejoices and considers himself or herself to be blessed, embodies all of the other Beatitudes. Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is the first one. To be persecuted, someone to be persecuted, but to let go of revenge or retaliation, that kind of a person is someone that is not in a position of power. That kind of person is in a position of poverty. Or you may have the power, but you've chosen to relinquish your right to defend yourself. I'm reminded of Jesus. Jesus on the cross, ultimate persecution for righteousness, for the sake of his Father, for the sake of God. And if he wanted to, he could have commanded the angels to come down and strike everybody, but he relinquishes that right, places himself in a place of poverty, in a place of no power. So someone in this position walks in poverty of spirit. Mourning. Blessed are you when you mourn, for those who mourn, because they will be comforted. Persecution naturally leads to mourning, right? Persecution naturally, even though Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, that joy, that rejoicing is found in a deeper place somewhere else. Naturally, when we are persecuted and ill-treated, that leads to mourning. And someone that walks out this final beatitude of receiving persecution but finding joy in the Lord also walks out the second beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. They understand that even though they're mourning right now, one day they will be comforted in the Lord. Blessed are those who are meek, gentle, letting go, right? Letting go of your right to fight back. As you are persecuted, as you receive ill treatment, you're saying, you know what? I'm not going to try so hard to stand up for myself and defend myself, but I'm going to let go and practice meekness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. In this final beatitude, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. It means this person, for this person, righteousness, obedience, and pleasing Jesus is worth so much that they're willing to accept persecution, ill treatment, rejection, and ridicule, right? Righteousness, obedience, and pleasing Jesus is more important and worth much more than avoiding persecution, avoiding rejection, avoiding ridicule. Merciful. Blessed are those who are merciful. I'm reminded of Jesus on the cross, ultimate persecution. He prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? Someone that is receiving persecution for their commitment to Jesus Christ, yet is willing to relinquish their right to fight back and not retaliate, is someone that practices mercy, extends mercy to other people. Pure in heart. Pure in heart. I'm thinking in terms of relationship with other people. It's not holding a grudge, not giving in to bitterness against the people that maybe don't understand and persecute you or falsely say all kinds of evil against you. And peacemakers, extending peace even to those who persecute us. So yeah, I just found it interesting that in this final beatitude, in this someone that walks out this final beatitude, receiving persecution, but finding joy in the Lord and considering it to be a blessing and not retaliating, actually embodies the other beatitudes as well. Second point, an encouragement for us. We should be prepared for persecution, for ridicule, for rejection, for insult, for unfair treatment. We should be prepared for that. The way Jesus talks about it is, it's normative. For someone that wants to walk in a way that is pleasing to Jesus Christ, because the rest of the Beatitudes, we read that and go, we should be poor in spirit. We should mourn for the things of the Lord. We should hunger and thirst for righteousness. We should be merciful. We should be peacemakers. In the same way, we should be persecuted for righteousness, and we should be persecuted for the sake of following Jesus Christ and respond in the right way. That should be the norm. And so for us, I just think we should be prepared for that. You know, for some people in this world, this is the norm. This is what is happening to them right now. They are being persecuted. They are being ill-treated. They are being falsely accused of all kinds of things. For us, for the most part, for us living here in Hong Kong, this is foreign. This is foreign for us. We're not living in persecution. We're not experiencing all kinds of ill treatment and rejection. But we must be careful. I must be careful to not become so used to comfortable and pain-free Christian living so that we come to demand it or we come to pursue it. We should be prepared that persecution, ill treatment, being falsely accused of all these things, this will happen, you know? We should be prepared for that. And if it does happen, instead of reacting so what's the word? In a big way, reacting in such a big way, like, whoa, like, this cannot be, this is not right, and kind of demanding fair treatment and demanding people understand and demanding people treat us in the right way, we should just understand, well, this is the norm, and this is what so many people in the world are daily experiencing as they follow Christ. And we're not experiencing that right now, but if it were to come our way, well, how are we going to respond, you know? Some personal reflection for me, and I wonder if it will be helpful for anybody else, is as I was reading it, I was thinking, I must learn not to care so much what people think or say about my pursuit of God. Right? I care too much about what people say. Are people going to understand why I'm doing certain things? Are people going to understand, you know, why I pursue certain things? But I must let that go. Right? Jesus says, rejoice. You're blessed when people insult you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Persecution is not just physical. Persecution can be verbal, right? The example of persecution Jesus chooses is insult and receiving falsely, being, you know, spoken of all kinds of evil against you. And I just gotta let go. Who cares what people say, what people think? My job, our job, is to pursue righteousness, and it's to pursue Jesus. It's to pursue God with all of our efforts, to pursue pleasing God, and let go of trying to control how people perceive our lives. Trying so hard to avoid being misunderstood, you know? Trying so hard, let go of trying so hard of avoiding being misunderstood. I was reminded of Foster, Richard Foster, in that book, Celebration of Discipline. He says, often we use our speech primarily to justify ourselves, to justify our behavior. And he talks about the discipline of silence and solitude. And he says it's spiritual discipline to stop trying to explain everything and let God be the one who vindicates you. You just do. You just do. And so if in our pursuit of Jesus, he calls us to do something a little extreme, or if on our pursuit of righteousness, we choose to do something that goes against, you know, what the world thinks is important, and there's all kinds of misunderstanding, and there's all kinds of maybe ill treatment or falsely saying all kinds of evil against you, just let it go. You know, stop trying to explain, stop trying to make sure people understand your heart and stuff like that. Just my job is to focus on pursuing God, pursuing righteousness, doing my best to live in righteousness, and let God do the rest. I wanted to end with my final point, the reason for our joy. Jesus says, blessed are you, in verse 11, when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The reason for our joy, number one, reward in heaven. That's very direct. Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. And oftentimes people get really hung up on this concept of reward. But it's very biblical. There's going to be some kind of recognition when we go to heaven, and it's going to be different for different people. Our salvation, our relationship with God, is completely based on what Christ has done for us and us receiving salvation, receiving His mercy and grace, but the rewards, seems like, is based on how we live this life. How are we living in this life? Are we living this life focused on Jesus Christ and pursuing Him? Or are we living this life focused on ourselves? And based on that, when we get into heaven, Jesus is going to recognize that and say, wow, I saw how you pursued me with complete abandonment. And you didn't care what anybody said. You didn't care the disadvantages that came as a result of that. And well done, my good and faithful servant. And I don't know, it doesn't really say much about those who avoid being persecuted, who avoid following Christ to avoid persecution. It doesn't really say what's going to happen. It mostly, Scripture focuses on the reward for the faithful follower. There is a part in Corinthians, I think, where Paul says, some are going to enter in this way of like really receiving the reward, and some are going to barely make it in, like you're just barely hanging on and you make it into heaven. So who? I don't know. I don't know. Is God going to say, man, you blew it many, many times, and you avoided me, you were ashamed of me? I don't know. I don't know. Isn't that a scary thought? What if He says, man, you are pursuing the wrong thing. You focused all your time, most of your time, in avoiding discomfort and avoiding inconveniences. I don't know. What are we going to do? Anyway, reward in heaven. God's going to say, well done. Right? So that's our joy. We rejoice when we are persecuted. Because, wow, the promise of reward. Number two, why do we rejoice? Because we join the ranks of those who were before us. Right? Jesus says, in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. John Stott, he says, receiving persecution is the mark of a true believer, the mark of a true follower of Jesus Christ. We have a whole cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And when we are persecuted, when we experience this ill treatment, unfair treatment, we can, in a way, say, wow, I'm joining the ranks. I'm joining the cloud of witnesses who have gone before me, who have received all kinds of persecution, and we can find joy in that. It's like, wow, I'm part of this community, this team, this team of people that have gone before me and have received the same kind of persecution. And, of course, the last one is, we can rejoice because we have been counted worthy of suffering for Jesus. It's a way for us to demonstrate to Jesus, man, Jesus, I love you more than the comforts of this life. I love you more than receiving some kind of, you know, recognition or favor in this life. You know, I'm losing all of that, but I'm doing it for you, and it's a way for me to say I love you. In Acts 5:41, it says the disciples, the 12 disciples, the apostles, left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. And they found joy in that. So, yeah, let's go before the Lord. I think Rachel is going to lead us in worship. Lord Jesus, help us to walk this out, God. Most of us, I think, we don't really experience persecution. Help us to be prepared for that, God. Help us to be prepared. Maybe as times change, as politics change, culture changes, we're going to be persecuted and we're going to receive unfair treatment. God, help us to respond in this right way, God, when those times come. Help us to walk out the rest of the Beatitudes, all of the Beatitudes, all eight, that is, that Jesus teaches, and help us to find reason for joy, God, even in the midst of persecution. All right, let's sing this song. Go to our corporate prayer focus. Let's pray for our friends battling cancer. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for God's presence to come upon them. Hazel was able to come to church on Sunday for second service, so it was really great. It's great to see her, and doing well. So let's pray. Let's continue to pray that God would move and release healing and recovery for our friends. Let's lift up everybody. Let's pray for those who are ill, also in need of salvation. Let's pray that they would meet the Lord. Let's pray for these various infirmities that our church members and their family members are going through. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for COVID-related matters. Nobody on this list right now, but I'm sure there's people in our church that are battling COVID right now. So let's just pray for healing and strength. And also let's pray for frontline medical workers that they would be strengthened in the Lord and continue to have just a good strategy and strength. To carry on this important task. So let's pray. Let's pray for our friends looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision and God's guidance. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for the wealth gap. Let's pray for all these different ministries. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for the young people, the domestic helpers, the families in distress. Let's pray for God to move in our city. Let's pray. Let's pray for the staff. Pray for, a lot of people are traveling during the Christmas time. So let's pray for really good holiday and restful time for those of us staying, that we'll be able to work well. And, you know, we have an important Christmas service this Sunday, that we'll be able to serve the church well and lead the church well in this time. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for just protection, and pray for the personal lives of each of the staff members, that they would be filled with the joy of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for our education ministries, kids, youth, and SPU. Pray for Lisa, Caleb, and Grace. Grace has stepped down, and so we have to pray for guidance for SPU, that we'll be able to figure out the next steps for SPU. Pray for Lisa and Caleb. Let's pray for more volunteers. Let's pray that the children will encounter God through all the different activities prepared by these ministries. Yeah, let's pray. Let's pray for the worship team and the sound team and the AV team. Let's pray for a good, sincere heart of worship for both all the ministries and a real heart to serve the church, to avoid any distractions so that the church can really connect with God through the times of praise and worship. And let's pray for pray for the leaders, myself, Wesley, Rachel, that we'll be able to do a good job of leading and guiding the teams along. Let's pray. Pray for the pregnancies, Rachel and Johnny and others in our church. Let's pray for protection for the moms, protection for the baby, strength for the moms, and safe, smooth deliveries. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that we can come before you, pray to you, and read your word. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I pray, Lord, that as followers of Jesus, that we would be prepared for persecution, God, here in Hong Kong. We pray for those who are persecuted around the world for their faith in you, that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them and inspire them with your presence and with your voice, God, with your speaking to them, God. We give this day to you. God, help us to pursue you and pursue righteousness today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today.